Welcome to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, a program brought to you by Patients for Patients with Kidney Disease and their families. Hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now, here's your hosts, Ashley and Don.
We would just like to welcome you back for kind of a part three, but we convinced Bobby to stick around for a roundtable discussion. I know that our producer, Bob, is itching a little bit to get a couple questions in there since hearing Bobby's incredible story of being a living kidney donor to an anonymous receiver. I mean, there was no one planned for you to donate to. So I'm, of course, here. Bobby's still here. We have Don over in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And then we have Bob, our producer. So Bob, would you like to start it off and, you know, kind of ask any questions you may be wanting to this whole time?
All right. Hey, thank you guys. And Bobby, thank you so much. This has been incredible. But not being a mountain climber myself, up until break, I had no idea what a 14er was. So would you tell our audience what a 14er is?
Well, a 14er is a 14,000 foot mountain. And in this beautiful state of Washington, we have one. And so Colorado's become the playground because there's 58 there.
Wow. That's a lot.
Some say actually it's 56 because you can walk over from one down this little saddle and up to the next one and get two in about a half an hour. And they say, well, no, that's not right.
I want to do that one.
With a helicopter.
Yeah. And Bobby, for all those hikers out there and people who may live in Washington with us, what was your first hike after transplant? Or not transplant, after donating your kidney, sorry.
Yeah. So after donating, I went to Rattlesnake Ledge. It's short and one that felt like it would be appropriate for me to do there. And it also doubled as the one I did as my last hike prior to donating. So it was like kind of connect the dots and
yeah,
pick right back up where we left off.
Very cool. Well, I remember my first hike was Ice Caves and after transplant, and that's more like a walk. But I was still proud of myself.
Awesome.
You know, I was going to say,
you're active in a few groups from what I understand that support kidney donation. Can you tell us a little more about those groups or just explain what those groups are and what they do for us kidney patients?
Yeah. So probably about 6 months before I donated, I wanted to dive in and learn more about the kidney world. And in doing so, I found a group out of the Northeast called Donor to Donor. A kidney donor started this group and has been able to gather other donors from around the country. And we've now formed a nice coalition of donors. And we were slated in April to host the first kidney donor conference back in Manhattan as a way to bring some of the leading experts around the country in and help those who have been donors find avenues and ways to advocate. So unfortunately, that's been postponed till November. But hopefully that'll be a great experience there. And through that donor-to-donor group, through a couple other connections, I was then connected to kidney donor athletes. And the founder of that, Tracy, has lived in Colorado for a bit here and now is in Bend, Oregon. But she started this out of a research on her own prior to her donation and after her donation of trying to find other like-minded donors. And just today we had our very first kidney donor athlete board of directors meeting for the first time.
Congratulations. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, it was super powerful morning, and I'm super honored and flattered to be one of the first board members on this. But we're putting together a mission statement and a vision of what we will continue to do to reach out into the community to help educate and advocate and inspire and mentor. And since we all have some type of athletic background, it's for me, it's a perfect fit for me.
It's just incredible to me that you have not personally been touched by, you know, kidney disease or transplant, and that you decided to donate a kidney, and now you're advocating for others to be living donors. And I mean, I just can't, it's hard to express what I feel when it's that people want to do what you're doing, because it's just amazing. I mean, you're trying to help people that you haven't met, that are experiencing something that you may not have known much about before. And I mean, you're changing lives. You really are.
You're saving lives.
You are. You are giving the gift of life. You are giving a second chance.
Just by being on this little podcast here, you'll change lives. You'll probably change more lives than you'll ever know. But, you know, this podcast is on the internet, and the internet goes around the world. So you don't know who's going to hear it.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. Helping people has been something that has been part of me from the beginning of my life, as far back as I can recall, and just tried to find ways to do that. And you know, since I popped out of the forest in 2016, after kind of taking a look at where my life was headed, maybe not necessarily getting my life back on track, but just getting more in tune with who I am and what I want to do. And that's helped people and inspire people. And it's like the universe has conspired to bring opportunities for that. I was able to go to Africa in January on a 10-day soccer mission trip, and go to Swaziland and with a group from a local soccer buddy I know who runs Adventure Soccer and in Swaziland, and helping all the at-risk populations there. And on our last night, he gave me the opportunity to tell my story in front of 30 orphans. They circled around, and I had been to their orphanage a couple of times, so I was starting to develop some connections with some of them. And oh man, I'm telling you, it was incredible to be able to share the story and then have Matt kind of follow in behind that and use my story as a way for these kids, for the tragic life that they've had and what they've been exposed to, for them to look at me and use my story as a way to get inspired to help others. And like that, I mean, it's these ripples that you talk about. You know, sometimes we see them and sometimes we don't, but sharing stories for me is something that I'll continue to do. It's how I ended up here. When Tressa told me her story one day, and I'm just passing those ripples on elsewhere.
I know I had an opportunity to go to Central America to help build an orphanage for the kids who were in El Salvador and Nicaragua during the war there, and whose parents were killed. And nobody was looking after them. I mean, they came in there with their bellies bulging from malnutrition and stuff. And we got home after the mission trip, and people asked us, gee, what was it like? And I said, you know, I went down there to thinking I was going to minister to those kids, and they turned around and ministered to me.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Similar to you, I had no idea what I was getting into in Africa, and I clearly was ministered to as well. And that, again, that's something that I want to pass on now wherever I can. Just those are powerful experiences, Don.
Now, Bobby, you have a Facebook page, right? And you share a lot of this information.
I do. Yep. I'm just Bobby McLaughlin on Facebook. All right. And
Well, I think that it would be really fun if we could kind of link to your Facebook page so that, you know, the road back to life, find out more about you, because you are incredibly interesting. And there's so many things. I want to know how you did 47 miles in the Grand Canyon, up and down and up, in 18 hours or something. It's like, did you really do that?
Yeah. Well, we really did. You hear it, you know, you just put one foot in front of the other, and at times maybe need to take a little break to take that next step, you know, similar to life. But yeah, it was 17 hours. We went south rim down to the bottom, then up to the north rim, short little break there, and turned around and made our way back up a different trail on the south rim. And we were 47 miles when we were done, and had a full starry night and memories for a lifetime.
Wow. And just so people understand, this was after you donated. You're kidding.
I did one of these before, and now have been back twice since donation. So
wow.
It certainly did not slow you down, did it?
I haven't been slowed. No.
You know, just so people who maybe never been to the Grand Canyon,
it's deep.
When you stand on one side and you look across to the other, it's a little over a mile in spots, and you're looking at what looks like a painting out of a Hollywood movie. It don't look real. And there are three climate changes in that canyon when you go down. So it may be 90 degrees on top, but down on the bottom, it's a little different story. Yeah. And then from one end, from the west end to the east end, it differs tremendously too.
Definitely.
Yeah. And there's some beautiful things down there, but just so you know, it's not like going down a canyon trail and then, you know, walking a half a mile across the bottom and going back up the other side.
What you did is not easy. No.
Yeah. I was going to say, this kind of reminds me of the patient who asks if they're going to be able to play the piano after surgery. Not if you didn't play piano before the surgery, but the surgery is not going to change, you know, your ability to do things. So just donating a kidney is not going to make you go 47 miles up and down the canyon in 17 hours. But you're saying in your case, it did not stop you from doing that. And that's amazing. And, you know, I know two other donors as well. And both these ladies are incredible people, and they are just as fired up about the whole program as you are. You know, you're amazing, but I just want you to know that, you know, you're not alone. The people who donate are just so stoked, so excited by what, you know, what they were able to do for somebody. And I love the fact that you know the person who got your kidney. Because that's powerful. And you know what? I got to think it probably makes him a better patient too. you know, knowing the owners right back there.
Well, and what you've done, I mean, if you were my donor, I'd be like, I got to try and keep up.
I am going to be good patient.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to take care of this kidney. And
So that's a double benefit for us too. You know, I mean, sometimes when you get something for free, you don't take as good a care of it, you know, as you would if you actually knew and had some feelings for about the whole thing. But again, yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
And you truthfully are a hero. please don't ever feel bad about taking that title, because, you know, it's because of you or people like you that I got to meet my grandkids, you know, and my wife's not a widow, and I'm 62 next month, and I wasn't supposed to live past 49. So, you know, I mean, my life is just amazing because of people like you. So yeah, you're a hero. Don't ever take that as being hard to take.
Well, in fact,
I hear a lot of stories like that, Bob, and it continues to inspire me to continue my advocacy path, because we know the waiting list is huge, and I love hearing stories like that. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
When my daughter gave me her kidney, a living donor, we were told at that time, expectancy of the kidney to function would be somewhere between 3 to 7 years, depending.
Three to seven, right? Not 37.
No, 3 to 7. Yeah. And it was due to, well, this was 17 years ago. It was due to the fact that, you know, they weren't where they're at today in longevity and stuff. And I told my daughter, I said, you know, I'm going to make this thing last as long as I can. There's no such word as rejection in my vocabulary. I don't have it. I'm not going to speak something into existence that isn't there. And, you know, at 73, 17 years, I got to see my first grandchild get married. And I got to see another one of my granddaughters. I got a great grandson. And I would have had none of that. None. My dad started dialysis at 49, died at 59. So I consider myself really fortunate, because back in those days, they said when you start, about 10 years to the day almost is about when you'll probably die. And so, you know, I'm 73 and loving every minute of it. You know, I get up like everybody else. Some days are good. Some days are not as good as the others. But they're not bad. I've had bad days before. They're not bad. Okay. So, no.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask just one more question. And just talk about whatever you want to talk about this one question. But if you could say one thing to the listeners out here about your experience, what would it be, and what would you tell them?
Yeah, this it's a question I've had many times, and it's probably hard to understand it unless you've gone through this. But this has been very clearly one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And I know my donor pals feel similarly with that. And to be fair, there's a few donors who have not had these warm, fuzzy experiences. It's not a guarantee when you donate that everything's great and life is peachy and all is good. But for me, as we talked before, I would do this again in a heartbeat. Those things that we do in life that bring us joy or bring us meaning, we want opportunities to do those again. And this is that for me. It has completely changed my life. If you had told me the night before I donated that I'd have 5 complete strangers from Colorado on a conference call with me, wishing me good luck, us in tears, in that phone call, their sisters for life now, these friendships and relationships that I've had that continue to unlock new opportunities to impact people and inspire people. It's beyond description. So I'm failing as I'm trying to answer your question. But it has been clearly one of the best things that I've ever done in my life. And I can't recommend it enough for those who might be in a similar position where they're able to donate.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Yeah. Just everything that you've said is just so inspiring, and just being a recipient, it's incredible to see the other side of a living donor. So, and it's just such an incredible story that I think people need to hear. And I can say for myself that there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think of my donor. And I receive from a deceased donor, but I think about him multiple times a day. Every single day, I'm grateful for this gift that I've received. It's not like you get it and it's just you go on with your life. It's every single day. It's many moments of every day. So I'm sure that your recipient feels the same, because I'm always reminded. You know, there's always something that reminds me, and I'm just so grateful for my gift, like I know that many of us are.
Yes, my life is completely different after my transplant. I've always called it, you know, my second life, and it's the best one I've ever had. It's our golden point. But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you guys inspire me when you share your stories, because similar, Ashley, I don't see that side. And so hearing your side will propel me and my friends, kidney donor athletes and the other groups to continue to do the work that we're doing.
Oh, please do. Please.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if we can be a help along the way, you know, let us know. Let us know. And we'll try to be there or do whatever we can along that way. But here's a fun question. You've probably never been asked this, but is there anything you'd like to ask of us? Ask about us being a kidney recipient. Any question at all?
Oh,
that doesn't do that. That doesn't have anything to do with sex and alcohol, okay?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant, Don. Yes.
Because that's what we get asked all the time. If you get a can you drink after you get a transplant? You know, I'm going, oh, no. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah, I have been, I've been very curious what life is like. I have heard that when you get your transplant, you can feel the change, if not right away, then very close to the transplant moment there. And so I'm really curious what that feels like in terms of this renewed energy in life and feeling better. And then the second piece for me is, what is life like for the meds that you take, and is that burdensome? Is it joyful? Like, well, what is that like?
Well, I have to.
Bob, you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go, man. I got to tell you, you know, Don talked earlier about he thought he felt really good before transplant, and my nephrologist always asked me, he goes, "How you feeling, Bob?" When I got started with dialysis, because I was the guy that waited too long to go on dialysis. My kidney function was 6%. When I started. And I said, man, I feel so good. I'm like 100%. And he'd just smile and say, wait till you get your transplant. Now, when I thought I was 100%, you know, I'm working full time on dialysis, but I come home and I got to be in bed at 8 o'clock. I got to get 8 hours of sleep or I can't function the next day. And my life is still going good. Bobby, I got my transplant and I went from just working and resting to walking 5 miles in the morning before I had my first cup of coffee. And I was never a walker. My eyes went from yellow and the whites to blue like a kid. My blood work went down to like a 25-year-old. I'd been sick for years, decades with my kidney failure because I had polycystic kidney disease. And my life completely changed. My energy level was through the roof. My I was the, and I continue to be the happiest guy you'll ever meet. Yeah, it was an incredible life-changing moment. And maybe not for everybody, but I got my transplant Saturday, and by Sunday, I felt the difference.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Sunday morning, the dialysis team came into my room at the University Hospital, and they said, Mr. Crabtree, it's been really nice knowing you, but you no longer need dialysis. I had a creatinine level of just under 14 on Friday before I got my transplant. And normal creatinine level is about 1.4 to 0.8. And Sunday morning, my creatinine level was 2.3. 12 hours.
Wow.
24 hours, pardon me. Yeah. And my life instantly changed, and it's never been the same again. So thank you. Thank you so much. The gift that you've given and all these people that do this, alive or dead, is just unimaginable. It's liberating. You know, it makes you want to be a better person. I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you for letting me say that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Ashley?
I'm sorry to say I did not feel great right away. But I was 29 when I got my transplant, and I'm 33 now. And so my body fought really hard to against that organ. I'm just sensitive when it comes to medication, and they always call me the weird one. I get all the weird stuff. So it took me a year to feel really good. And it took me, I would say year three, I was a completely different person, and I did better. I mean, every day was better than the day before, but it took me a solid year. My first year was rough. But I mean, now, if I look back at before, I can't even believe that I'm the same. I can't even believe that this is me. Like, I feel like I'm in a different body. It's just, and my disease was slow. It progressed slowly from 15 until I had my transplant at 29. And you just get used to this way of life, and it's just normal. It's just normal. Everything's normal. These symptoms are normal. The way that I feel is just the way that I am. This is my life. And then you get a transplant. And then when you get to the point where you're really feeling good, you're like, this is normal. This is how I should have been feeling this whole time. And it's just incredible. And it's just, I can't even explain. I mean, it's emotional, and it's overwhelming that this is my life now, and I get to live my life and do the things that I love to do. And, you know, and I'm happy, and I'm healthy, and I'm not doing dialysis, and my numbers look great. And for your medication question, I do take more medication than when I was on dialysis, but a lot of them are supplements because my body is working so well that, I'm low on like phosphorus and magnesium. And I mean, sometimes like when I'm, you know, got to get out of bed to get my pills that I take at night, I'm like, but it's small. It's small compared to the life that it gives me. I mean, I have some side effects from medications, but everything has gotten so much better the last few years. And now I'm at year four, and having a transplant has changed my life, and I would never go back. And I'm so incredibly grateful. And like I said before, I think about it every single day, and I think about my donor. And I mean, it's overwhelming how grateful I am. It really is. And so what you're doing and what others have done like you to be a living donor, I mean, you really are saving lives. You are changing lives. You are saving lives. And you are also changing the lives of everybody close to the people who get these kidneys, because you've changed. I mean, my donors changed my husband's life, my mom's life. I mean, it's really incredible. So you are a hero. I know that that's hard for you, but you are a hero, and you really are doing amazing things. So, Don?
Well, I can just express, it's going to sound the same as everybody else. The only difference being is that I knew my donor. She was my daughter. And, you know, it's almost like when you get your driver's license, you know, beforehand you had to bum a ride here, and it was kind of ask mom and dad if you could borrow the car, or, you know, and then you got your driver's license and you got your own car, and all of a sudden you could go where you wanted to, do what you wanted to, and get back to the person you always wanted to be and were at one point. And you know, for me, that was kind of a freedom I hadn't felt in years, because when we get sick, I found out when I was 26, I had polycystic kidneys, and my kidneys would fail at some point. So from 26 to 56, 30 years, I got sicker and sicker and sicker and didn't know it. Sort of like the old frog in the pan. You know, you put a frog in a pan full of water and you just turn up the heat slowly. He doesn't know he's being boiled alive. And that's what happens to us. You know, our blood gets so full of toxic crap that it isn't getting filtered out that you don't think right. Nothing tastes good. Water don't even taste good. You know, you have a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. When you talk about climbing mountains, we just want to be able to walk to the kitchen table and sit down and have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Or up the driveway to get inside the house after work.
After work, yeah. And so when you get transplanted, when you go on dialysis, it cleans a lot of that out. And you get to feeling good again, only in a shorter period of time, you know? I mean, it's just boom. But when you get transplanted, even if your creatinine level is decent, it's like a kick in the butt. Somebody stuck in a slingshot and turned you loose. It's just, you're gone. I mean, you don't know how to act. And you don't know whether to laugh or cry sometimes. And then sometimes you don't have the words that you want to say to the person that gave you the kidney to tell them thanks, because that doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound good enough. And so when you think about it, it's not just a gift, like I said before, like giving somebody a watch or a new car or whatever. This is a part of you. And it's not just tissue and blood and all that other stuff. It's part of your heart. So thank you. And pills. The only bad part about the pills is paying for them.
Yeah.
You know, if the government really would pay attention to things, what it costs to do a transplant versus, you know, somebody not being able to pay for their meds and lose that transplant. And they would lose thousands of dollars per person a year. And so I'm just, you know, if there happens to be a senator out there listening, you know,
and some of them are kind of big, which I don't like.
Do the math, because what it takes for a person to be on dialysis is about $30,000 or more a month. What it takes for a person to get transplanted, I think, is over $300,000.
Right around $300,000. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 10 months, it's paid for. Okay. Yep. It's paid for. And if they pay for the meds, you know, the other 2 months out of the year, that would be paying for it as well. They would save, literally from that point on, after the first year, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year per person. And they'd have a lot happier people. So, you know, I'm just saying. What?
It's, well, Don, when I make my way to Colorado this summer, and we have our One Kidney Club gathering of all our donors. You can be an honored guest that night and meet a room full of kidney donors. And
so cool.
Absolutely.
Athletes and my friend Jen, who runs Rock One Kidney. And you'll see a room full of these people empowered to, you know, continue to bring this change that you three very clearly share your stories and how impactful it is.
I'd love to, you know, and the more I can thank people for doing what you did, you know, the happier I am, because like we all have said, you know, it's a remarkable gift to be giving, especially blindly as you guys are doing. You don't know who's going to get the kidney, you know, and of course it's the hospital's part to screen out and make sure the individuals are going to take good care of it. But I'd love to meet you face to face and, you know, sit down and have a cheeseburger with you or something, you know, or whatever. Or you come up to my place and maybe I'll throw some food in the smoker and we'll have a chicken or some ribs. I don't know.
Looking forward to the summer.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's coming. So anyway, thank you, Bobby. You got anything else for us you want to ask?
I just really appreciate you guys having me and for your candid conversation and your sharing of your journeys. I treasure those and will carry those with me as I move forward and look forward to seeing you again, Ashley, sometime, and Bob and Dawn of meeting you one day. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And thank you.
Yeah.
We want to thank you and the others that are associated in giving kidneys who are out there. We want to thank those donors too. And thanks again for sharing your journey. And hopefully people out there will be listening and want to do that, or at least check it out. We're not here to pressure anybody into anything. We're here to maybe make the pathway a little easier to see while you're going through that journey. So this is Don and Ashley, and Bobby, thank you again, and our producer Bob, thank you. We're all saying be kind to one another. We hope this week's show has provided you with valuable information and inspiration you can apply to your life. Keep in mind, anything said on this show is for educational purposes only. As always, we encourage you to write down your questions and take them with you to your healthcare provider. If you have any questions for us or would like to talk to one of our mentors at The Road Back to Life, please feel free to email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com and we'll be happy to assist you. Now be kind to one another.